to our guest today, Dan Plesac from the MLB Network. We love talking baseball with the Sack Man. Thank you to Randy Merkin and to Chris Black. Tomorrow on the show, you know who we're talking to. Yurko's going to be gone tomorrow. He's going goose hunting.
Goose hunting, man. Southern Illinois.
Yeah, I'm going to be with Freddie Huebner. Allen Robinson's coming on tomorrow.
Nice.
Talk about the offseason and some extra playoff games and stuff like that, expanding the schedule.
Did you see what he tweeted, too?
What did he tweet?
He tweeted about the young guys got to get more familiar with the business side. Mm. So, you know, there have been some veterans tweeting some of the younger guys, hey, let's not jump at this deal. Jamal Adams was very happy saying that there was more money. Richard Sherman retweeted him and was saying, hey, let's have a phone call here.
Well, Yurko did the simple math and said, well, wait a minute. 16 to 17 is a 6.25% increase.
Right. And you're going from 47 to 48%.
What you need to do is go to 49.9%.
Correct.
Right. Would you want it to be commensurate with.
And I want some of the gambling money.
Of course you do.
Yeah. I want
I want full health care for anyone who qualifies for a pension. You should have lifetime health care at your disposal if it's necessary.
You two need to go take Kevin Moore's
job. Do you know what ends up happening is the older you get, in all seriousness, on these issues, you get a touch wiser. More than a touch wiser.
Right. Yeah. And when you're young, you don't care.
You don't. You just want...
Because you think you'll live forever and nothing hurts you, affects
you. They see what they make. They see their checks. Right. They know they're going to make more next year. They don't
That's the easy get, isn't it? When this conversation takes place, okay, and then one of the things reported is, well, the minimum NFL salary is going to go from $545,000 to $720,000. That's the easy gift. Like the owners, that's not even in their top 10 of things they're trying to protect.
They don't even think about it.
No.
What they're trying to protect is intellectual property. They've got stuff on the back burner where they're going to make money. They don't plan on telling you about until they release it.
Yeah.
And, well, this just kind of came out of nowhere. We didn't know. It's not part of the DGR. But
that's what I was going to say.
They're making it hand over fist. That's why the gambling stuff's important.
Right. What is part of the total take? Is gambling part of the total take? What percentage are the players getting in terms of all?
What's part of the DGR? There's no parking in DGR. There's, anything
There's
sold,
no parking in DGR.
Anything sold at the facilities goes to the team itself. It doesn't go to the pool where it becomes part of DGR.
Is that right?
Oh, there's only the DGR is a percentage of total revenue.
So it's not even the real representation of what the owners make.
100% of the revenue that's made.
Wow. Yeah. There's some breaking NBA news. Shams Charania says that Kyrie Irving is likely to undergo a procedure on his right shoulder and miss an extended period of time.
He's out for the year, I would think.
Months left. Well, the injuries have plagued Kyrie his whole career.
The other thing is, and that's big news.
Anyway, I just wanted to get that out.
I got
there,
that is big news. I acknowledge it. PSLs. I don't think there's any percentage of PSLs.
Is that right?
None of the suite tickets and that kind of stuff. That's all. All that goes for is a seat at the average cost of what your average seat is, like $85.
Yeah.
$95.
That's what they take.
That's what they get. Even if they charge $1,000 for it, the players only get credited for $95 of that. Wow.
Everything that produces revenue should be put into
the pool.
And if the players aren't going to demand it, then they shouldn't sign the deal.
Time off and practicing less. Is crap.
That's
nothing.
The owners, again, the owners are happy to do that for you.
They don't care. Yeah. You still got to show up on Sunday and play.
Yes.
They know you're going to be in shape because you have to be in shape to play the game.
The coaches are the only ones who care about that.
Right. Why would an owner care if you've got 11 padded practices or 9?
Nobody
doesn't give a rat's ass.
No. I was telling Waddle this. This is really the only time that the players are negotiating from a position of strength. Mm. Because the owners want to get this done before the new league year starts. Because they're still a year out from a new deal.
Right.
But if they get this done by the new league year, they can implement the new and renegotiate the TV deal.
The most important thing.
And then they're
right.
Now they're going to make millions and billions.
With a crystal clear understanding of a Hulu, Amazon Prime, Jobu, or whatever the hell else is out there.
So the owners are the ones who really want to push this thing. So the players need to say, okay, wait a minute. Why do the owners want to get this done so badly?
Yeah, right.
Because they've got so much money to make. That's where the players need to say, now you guys are against your deadline. We need to push and push and push and get everything before we agree
to
anything.
It's called the time value of money. If the owners can actually get you locked in now, as Sylvie said, then they can get the extra cash in the TV deal. Why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want an extra year's worth of it? You get the money now. It's your money as opposed to pushing it off into 2021. get it now. The sooner the better. Right. You get the money, you put it to work for yourself. You turn 2 into 4, 4 into 8.
Well, I mean, for the players, it makes sense too because you're getting more money. Sure, but I see what Sylvie's saying. Just get the right thing.
Right. Yeah. Just for the layman out there, they don't need to do a new collective bargaining agreement until the end of the 2021 season. Right.
Now, the increase would be nice because, like Tommy said, you get money now. You're increasing your take.
I also believe that now's the time for the Players Association to finally say, look, it has to include lifetime health care for anybody who's earned a pension.
How many players do you think that is? We were trying to guess. Is that 10,000 players?
Are you talking about the past or just the guys that are there?
No,
now?
I'm talking it goes back to anyone that has qualified in the past. So is that
10,000 living people?
Maybe, but think about it. Johnny and I don't need the health care because we get it through SAG-AFTRA. So it's not going to be 100% of the retired players that need the health care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary Fencek doesn't need that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Covert doesn't need it.
Jimbo covered it. So there is a percentage that isn't, but to have it at your discretion.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not asking for the government to kick in.
No.
This is a private entity that's making $17 billion in revenue every year.
Right.
I would think that the owners would want to.
Come on. Now you're getting a little carried away
I'm just saying.
You need a spanking birthday.
Bend over, Tommy. Go through the spanking machine.
You know what? At some point in life, you got to also, while you're bathing in cash, also do something that's right. And I know that there are some owners out there that would be willing to do that. If you're a player, I mean, look, at some point, you're going to be one of us.
At some point, we're going to need that insurance. They have a hard time seeing that now,
of course.
Though. You're young. You see what's in front of you. You think you'll have money for life.
I was telling these guys upstairs, Carm, I remember being in those meetings in the early 90s where the late Gene Upshaw, who was in charge of these.
Braxton Banks would come in.
Yeah, Gene would come in, and we'd all be sitting in there. It's just the players.
Nobody wanted to be there.
Is that true or no?
I think because we were young and we didn't understand it.
What do we need this for?
Is kind of like it was. But I remember Gene, the late Gene Upshaw, saying, look, I'm here for you guys.
Right.
I'm not here for the guys that played before you. They had their bite at the apple. I'm here for you guys. And listen, he should have been there for everybody.
Right.
I mean, but Gene also at the time, you know, if you've got a nice job like that, you're also looking to be reelected when your term's up. And so, I mean, there's a political aspect to it. I think that the approach should be that I'm here for you or the league. The Players Association is here for the guys that are here and now and those.
Yeah.
I don't want it to sound like I'm some sort of sour ex-player that needs something from it. I think it's the right thing to do. You play the sport. There's $18 billion in revenue. You should be able to take care of the guys for the remainder of their life, considering, you know.
The sport takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Well, that should be the pitch, shouldn't it? That the average career is 4 years.
Yeah.
We're here for you for those 4 years, and we're here for you beyond.
Yes.
Here for four? We've got you for 40.
There you go.
How about that?
Hopefully longer.
Not everyone's going to need that health care from the moment you retire.
Right.
But wouldn't it be a hell of a lot nicer if you had the access to that?
Pension improvements.
That's good, too.
Jimbo Covert said to us at the Super Bowl. Jimbo Covert was doing an event for Gridiron Greats. They raised a couple $100,000, I believe, at the Super Bowl when he got inducted, or at least elected, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Coach Ditka started it. Jimbo said to us, this is great. We shouldn't be doing this. Right. The NFL should be doing this. Right,
Take care of your own.
The NFL should be running the arm of Gridiron Greats.
Yeah. Right.
And raising money or contributing from the owner's funds, whatever.
Listen, we should be taking the burden off of the rest of these, you know, not to get political, but we should be taking the burden off of others in society. We should be able to take care of our own based on the revenue that's generated.
Yeah.
And if we take care of our own, it means that there's more for other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, to me, it's crazy. It's crazy that they don't do it.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
He needs 54 spankings.
54.
Because he's, well, one for good luck.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Right. Yeah, I don't need to be spanked.
Are you sure?
Merk,
54 lashes.
Go get the paddle, Merk.
Yeah. I thought we did away with that years ago.
He says he's going to use his hand.
Okay, go ahead. Get it warmed up.
You know, Waddle would walk by Merck and smack him.
I used to.
Yeah?
Not anymore. I was alerted that Merck was going to run upstairs and tell somebody if he did it again.
Yeah, well,
or if I didn't do it twice.
You better be careful.
He said, you better do it twice.
Are you doing anything special tonight?
No.
No? Watch the Bulls?
I'm watching the Bulls.
Lose to Charlotte.
He's definitely not doing anything special.
I watched the Blackhawks last night. Do you realize?
You stink. You're the jinx.
Do you realize? This is true.
Jinx.
The only game that they won on that West Canadian trip-a-roo, whatever it was the game I was in Houston and I couldn't see.
See? That's the winning.
They are 0-5 this year when I watch pretty much every minute. Right. They were 0-4 last year when I got on board when, you know, the playoffs were still.
All right. You are Eddie Mush.
0-9.
For anybody who thinks that they've got a chance to make the playoffs, do you know what the best 22-game stretch that they've had this year was?
In terms of total points.
Total points. 22 games. That's what's left.
So that's
their best stretch during the year. Means it started with a win, it ended with a win.
So that's 44,
28 points.
44 points.
27 points. They went 13-8-1.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Yeah, so you'll finish, if you do the same thing, which means you're playing the best hockey of the year, you're going to end up with 87 points,
so you
which
sell.
Means you're going to be about 7, 8, 10 points out of the playoffs.
You know who did the same thing last year? Was and we talked about it every day. Was the Cubs. They never got above, like,
that's
eight
true.
Games above
right.
500.
They were just 500.
They were right. the same team yeah. for 4 months.
They still had a better year than the Hawks have had.
Their
they
high watermark yeah. was 11, yeah. 12 games last right. year, wasn't it?
Yes, well,
high
water was still better. Yeah. You know, but don't fall for the Waddle, like, the bad luck hockey right. thing. He was here in 10. He was here in 13.
That's true.
He was watching in 15.
Well, he's a jinx? No.
He's saying that, so he doesn't have to watch them anymore.
I can't believe he's only watched 9 games in 2 years.
Well, don't tell anybody that. Listen, I had a simple approach.
Watch hockey in the playoffs.
The season starts in the postseason.
Yeah,
well, there are other people that feel differently about different sports, you know?
Answer my question here, boys.
All right.
I heard this. I was listening to Cap. They had full phone lines today on reshaping the Blackhawks. What do the Blackhawks need to do? A, tweak. B, fire the coach. C, fire the coach and general manager. Or D, full-scale rebuild.
Ooh.
Got your hockey motor running, don't
you? Yeah.
Get your motor running.
Well, you haven't been to the postseason in 3 years. You haven't, well, what'd you guys say? They haven't won a series in 5 years.
They haven't won a game. They haven't won a playoff season game.
They got swept by Nashville when they were the number one seed.
4 years. They won in 2016. They went to game 7 against the Blues.
Yes. Right. And you were right about Troy Brower,
right?
He scored the game winner in game 7.
That's what I thought.
That hurt.
I'm going to vote. Like, it seems to me that they need more than a tweak, but I'm not at a full-blown rebuild either, so I guess I'm going with firing, guys.
But, you know. Is this coach the coach?
I don't know.
I mean, he's not boiling, talent, but is he,
No, he's not boiling. I think talent's more of an issue.
But he's like he's like plain vanilla, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
I don't know. I don't see behind the scenes. I don't talk to enough people to know if they're still... You know, does he motivate? Is he doing X's and O's? Is he making the right decisions? Look, I thought strategically he did make some good choices on what they were trying to do to reinvigorate the power play. It just hasn't worked.
Right.
I mean, he's tactically tried to change things a little bit. It's just nothing works for them right now. Their defensive personnel is just a mess, too. It really is.
So how do you, I mean, like we were, Meller and I were upstairs talking about it. I mean, who are you going to trade? And
well, I would trade Gustafson. I would trade one of the goalies.
You're trading Taves?
Trade both the goalies if they want them.
Yeah.
Why are you holding on to one?
Yeah. Saad, you know, if somebody's asking about Saad, I would say go ahead. You know, you trade just about everybody.
Everybody's gone for me.
To me, trading Kane is tough. But
Everybody else. But do you trust the general manager to rebuild?
And to trade these guys now?
Right.
Well, I don't trust Bowman as far as I can throw
them. So then maybe you don't. Vote.
Yeah. And I can throw him.
You just trade the guys who are free agents and then let the new guy go after
Let the new guy, yeah. If you're going to hire somebody new. All right, what's coming up, boys?
So we have actually something with every one of our teams today because, you know, the Blackhawks and the Bulls and possible changes for them. There are Bears quarterback rumors that we're going to get after. There, the Cubs and the White Sox power rankings are out and expectations for them. It is Waddle's birthday show today, and we always celebrate that like it's a national holiday.
Right.
So his old quarterback, Jim Harbaugh, will call in to wish him a happy birthday at 3 o'clock today.
I love it. Harbaugh's got to be thrilled.
We have Barstool Big Cat. We have Michael Wilbon.
I didn't call him to ask him to wish me happy birthday.
There's a lot going on today, Carm. This is a can't-miss show.
All right, boys. Waddle
They're
and Sylvie.
They're all can't-miss shows.
Waddle and Sylvie are next, and we'll see you tomorrow to wrap the week.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
He's 53.
Stop it.
Feb 20. Happy birthday to Charles Barkley. Bruce Levine's birthday today, too. Happy birthday to him. I saw on Twitter, too, that it's Tom Skilling's birthday.
It is. A lot of my buddy Mike Bumpus, who you met at the Super Bowl party I played football at BC with, he's also February 20th.
Wow, this is a big birthday.
It is.
Day. Birthday day.
Day, yeah. Okay, is that it? Are we done with that?
No, no.
Why? I'm not a kid.
We're not going to wish Waddle a happy birthday.
This is not Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, we're not trying to get tickets to get stuffed animals.
Well, ski ball, huh?
You know who hates
ski ball?
My wife, whenever like it's her birthday, she hates getting the cake in the restaurant. She literally turns bright red. And so much so where I do it now on days that it's not her birthday.
That's
where
cruel.
I'll get a cake just say it's her birthday.
Yeah, that's not
and
nice.
And just to make her uncomfortable.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Because it's fun.
For who? Not
me.
For her.
Well, I know, but I mean, come on.
You're what for? So
you get a little cake, a little sundae, a little candle.
Sometimes kicking the marbles. Yeah.
Well,
that's
going to
be the only sparkler that's going to be shining for a while.
What's more fun than making your spouse feel uncomfortable?
Right. Exactly. I don't know.
I mean, we're past the 7-year mark now. I mean, geez. You know,
I didn't
we
realize,
can have some fun with making each other uncomfortable.
That was the official mark of being able to be a total Richard to your spouse?
Not a total. I think that's all in good fun. That's in good fun. You get a little...
Like, she's had a nice meal, you guys are enjoying yourself, and all of a sudden, the meal's ruined by...
Not ruined.
...the indigestion and the stomach churning that goes along with the uncomfortableness of you making...
Oh, and I love those restaurants where they bring the whole crew. Like, it's not just one guy bringing the cake or the sundae, but they bring, like, a team of 8 different servers, and they all start singing. Or if, like, perhaps it's a restaurant where they have some sort of a little bit of a guitar player or a mariachi band.
Just a little bit of a guitar
player? You know, or something, you know, and they come over and then they really do it up. Then you get full-scale embarrassment.
Yeah, you're right. 2 birds with 1 stone. You get to embarrass your wife, and you found a way to get a nice free birthday cake and ice cream celebration for you as you sit down and knock it down.
Yes. Oh,
as she sits there.
Free
and,
cake?
Yeah.
So it's Waddle's birthday. If you want to weigh in, 312-332.
Well, you don't want my birthday. No, I don't want you to weigh in on my birthday.
No, I mean, okay,
birthdays are not big celebrations for me.
Let's list. Which
yes
you
or
can...
no on Waddle's birthday. 312-332.
Vote on
Twitter. Should Waddle's birthday be fired? 312-332.
Jeez. We used to do this thing up when we first got together. Oh, it would be a parade of people. It would be Pete Rose followed by Mike Ditka.
And why?
You know, no, it's... Think about it. This was before Sylvie was married. He was doing the version of what he does to his wife to you.
I think you hit it on the head, Jeff.
He'd embarrass you, whatever you don't want to
realize that. Yeah.
Then he got married. He's like, all right, I'll embarrass the wife.
It's sort of like when you poke fun at somebody and they don't care. And then you stop poking fun at them. But when you poke fun at someone and you know it gets under their skin a little bit, what are you going to do? You're gonna ride them a little bit.
Here's the deal. I'd rather you guys bust my nuggets on how mediocre of a football player I was, Maller, and how bad my skin is on that side of the table, then talk about my birthday for 4 hours.
I don't think you were ever mediocre. You were never mediocre. I would say you were a good... No, you just said
the way
mediocre.
You phrased it. The way
he
you
said
phrased
my
it.
Mediocre
this is
my
you
point.
Never
this
hit
the
you,
mediocre.
This is fucking to be mediocre.
This is fine.
I'd rather talk about this,
brag, Mr. Mediocre,
than actually have to, you know, talk. Hey, it's your birthday. It's your birthday.
We need it to be a roast.
Hey,
is what it is.
Face is on
need
fire.
To do
Let's
roast.
Put it out with a fork. Oh no, that's already happened before. I'd rather that like 4 hours of jokes about that than to talk about.
We were making complexion jokes on the texting chain last night while watching. The Blackhawks.
Well, I got in
on that. But a roast, I don't know if you could do roasts these days either because it's so politically incorrect. I still love a good roast. But
especially when your wife is having a nice dinner and all of a sudden, you just like to make people uncomfortable.
I do.
Yeah.
When Carmen had a birthday, must have been his 30th birthday, his friends and his brothers came and they said, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw Carmen a roast this year at the birthday party. So bring it and bring it strong.
Oh, boy. Then in a fist fight?
No. And so I brought it and I brought it strong.
Yeah.
And then I started getting messages that his parents who were there and his fiance, now wife, who was there, weren't happy with me. But what am I supposed to do if it's a roast? It's a roast. We knew it was a roast. I'm supposed to bring it.
You're supposed to know your audience.
People were offended.
You're supposed to
know
your audience.
Then let's not do a roast. Carmen's dad was in the back filming it with a camcorder. Back before
the did you go first, or did somebody else set the tone? Or did you just... Somebody started with a few chuckles, and the next thing you know, you brought out the flamethrower?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I was the Roastmaster General for that one. Oh. And we was blue. We went blue. At least I did. All right. But, no, you were mediocre. I would classify you as a football player, as a good football player. You were a good football player.
Appreciate that.
We often say that they're comedians. I feel like Waddle is a football player's football
player.
There
you go.
Excellent.
Fit in this. That's why he's still in 2020... Why people still call in today and say that, Waddle, you were my favorite player. And that was in 1989.
It's because
that was
they 92. Were faster and more athletic than I was, and they saw themselves in me.
Yes.
You were my favorite Bears receiver of the 90s.
Oh, shut up, Maller.
Conway? No.
Many, many a defensive player have often said, I loved it when Tom Waddle was on the field because I always knew I was winning that matchup.
All right, the roast has begun. Can we get a cake in here?
Coach Ditka once famously said, if I could have cut him one more time, I would have.
You know what? Put the hat on. Don't be a rich.
There was one year I went to Soldier Field, and there was this one fan who kept yelling, oh, my gosh, Waddle's so much faster this year. What's he been doing working out? And someone turned to him and said, that's Ricky Prohl.
Meller can't do it because Meller's serious about it. Meller would be like, you ruined my childhood, and I'm being serious now. I had to see a therapist because I hated the Bears because of you and your mediocre-ness.
All right, bring the roast then. Waddle doesn't want you to wish him a happy birthday, so roast him.
Hey, how about
312-332-3776.
How about roasting the Blackhawks or the Bulls?
Well, I mean, think about
it. Or the other mediocre teams in our city.
You know, you did mention, you said, look, there are a lot more things you'd rather talk about. Well, lay out the list of stuff that's going on today, because there is a lot.
The Blackhawks, they've been out of this thing for the postseason chase for a while. Now, what are they, 8 points out of the wild card? It's over now.
Right.
So now what do you do? Are you wholesale, selling? Are you staying, standing pat and just going to try and fix some things in the offseason? What degree of change are you willing to consume? The Bulls, Windhorse was on with Cap earlier today. Whether or not that'll be wholesale changes, the Bears quarterback conversation is back on the front burner. There's a lot going on right now.
Right. Someone, Benjamin Albright, who works in Denver, is an NFL guy, was saying that the Bears are looking into these quarterback names. And one name to keep an eye on is Derek Carr. If he becomes available, they would be interested. And it just so happened today also that Derek Carr put up on Instagram a picture of him and Khalil Mack.
I don't know how you
make... And he hashtagged it Mega Powers.
I don't know how they make that work. I really don't. Well, I don't know how you make that work.
So we can get into that. We've got Cubs and White Sox. It's spring training. The power rankings are out. And then, like you said, the two winter teams. So they're all five of our teams are in focus
so
today.
So you're watching last night. And what did they do? What did the Rangers do? They score five in the third period?
It was just the roof caved in. Again, it's one of those games where it's close and they're in it. And then the next thing you know, you blink and the roof caves in. And, it's something always goes wrong.
When I've invested, and I'm talking minimum, 95% of my television watching experience on a game. 95%. When I put on a Blackhawks game and I watch 95% of that game the last 2 years, they're 0-9. I
don't
believe
in
chances.
I don't think it's you. It's not you, it's them.
I get it. It's just unbelievable.
Well,
One time that they actually won and they scored eight goals, they put eight nuts in the net, I was in Houston and didn't have the ability to watch a game.
So you just want us to say, Waddle, don't watch anymore.
No, I still watch. I'm just saying it's uncanny.
But is this a good thing? And I heard Cap got a ton of calls today about big picture Hawk stuff. Do you want Bowman gone? Do you want the coach gone? Look, they waved goodbye to Quinville. He won three cups. I think the personnel is more of an issue than the coaching.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Stage.
How do you solve the problem that exists when you haven't been to the postseason in the last 3 years? What's the biggest element? Who's the biggest factor? mean, wouldn't you want...
Well, I think it's the lack of defensemen. We've been talking about this for years. It's the roster. You know, the goaltending has been decent.
Are they going
Patrick Kane has had some of his best years in this span.
What's the likelihood...
You're wasting Patrick Kane's prime years.
What's the likelihood that they're going to make a change with the difference maker or with the decision maker?
I don't think... I would not bet on it. I think what both tenants have in common... Now, Bowman's got cups. Pax doesn't. That's why it's harder to understand.
Sure.
But Bowman's got three cups, and we keep hearing they love him. So I don't know what they would do. 312-332-3776. Kev is in Naperville. Kevin, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, love the show. Yeah, I was pretty sure I was at that party. It was, I believe it was at Shuba's on was at Southport Belmont.
Oh, you're talking about the Carmen roast when he turned 30,
yeah.
I think. Oh, yes, it was at Shuba's, one of the classic bars in Chicago.
Yeah, and his brothers were there, and I just remember it being very uncomfortable.
Really? Did Sylvie make it uncomfortable, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't remember what was said, but I just remember his parents being there, and I remember his brothers, because I went to high school with one of Carmen's brothers. And
what did you say? Well, it was a roast. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. What did you roast him on?
Everything.
What was your best
exes? That kind of, I feel like that's what got you in trouble. Did you talk about exes?
Not really.
Romantic encounters of past.
It's a long time ago. So
Kevin, do you recall anything that Sylvie said that was completely over the line?
I do not remember anything, so I don't. But I just thought I'd call and share. Love the show, guys.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. There you go.
Do you remember? You know what you said.
No, I just remember that I brought it. That it's a roast and it was no holds barred. It was don't.
Was Karen there?
Yes.
What are you doing?
But they said it's a roast and don't call it a roast. If you invite a clown to the circus, don't complain that there's a clown there.
What if you invite a clown to a roast?
Right, but what if it's not a circus? What if you invite a clown to a ball game? I mean,
well, that's what I mean. If you invite someone who wants to roast to a roast, can you complain that someone went at someone too hard? That's the point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the level where were they expecting a rated PG?
Rodman thing years ago when we invited Rodman and Rodman went crazy on the air. Can you blame Rodman? To me, that wasn't a Rodman problem. We invited Rodman, we fueled him with alcohol, and the next thing you knew...
So you're the Rodman of roast?
Well, I'm just saying, you got to understand, like, know your audience, know who your guests are, know what the thing is all about.
So come on, give me your best line.
I don't remember.
I
don't know if you remember at 332-3776, but you know the number. Mike's in Orland. You're on ESPN.
The number.
Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, I'm here to say my boy Tommy Waddle. You know, instead of talking about his birthday, let's just talk about, you know, the upcoming 2020 celebration for Ryan Sandberg Day. I think it's a topic he likes a little bit better. Happy birthday, Tommy Waddle.
Ryan Sandberg Day or Ryan Sandberg Day, Mike?
Ryan Sandberg Day.
Okay.
It's been a long day, buddy.
I'm sorry. All right, Mike. Yeah,
thanks, Mike.
I mean, what day is that? That's June something, isn't it?
Yeah, Rhino's coming on later to talk about you.
Yeah.
Wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah.
So, all right. Whether or not you want to get after the Blackhawks story, do you believe that the Blackhawks have dipped to the point where they should make wholesale changes? Not here at the deadline. To me, I trade the guys who are up. And I'm not hesitating to trade both goaltenders if you could get stuff for them. Collect as many. I've said this about the Bulls. I've said this about a lot of our teams at the trade deadline. Get as many assets as possible to go into the offseason. So I'm not concerned if Robin Leonard goes to another team and lights it up and then you don't sign him. You'll find another goalie. Okay? If someone wants to give you something for Crawford, someone wants to give you something for Leonard, do it. Get as many assets as possible.
Amen.
And then if you want to stay with Bowman, then you pick your path. If you want to fire Bowman, then you let the new guy determine what you want to do with guys like Taves and some of the other bigger names. Also, the Bears stuff. We got power rankings. Bulls news with Brian Windhorst talking about their lack of spending. All that coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hit me. All right, so We are in a weird situation with a lot of our teams
right
now.
And
the team that dominated the 10s, they have gone into the crapper here and continue to play middle-of-the-road hockey. And that's not where you want to be. The one good thing about what the Hawks have done over this stretch where they had, remember those back-to-back home games and they lost in overtime in both of those?
Yeah.
And then they went on the West Coast trip, the Western Canada trip. The one thing we wanted them to sort of discern is which way are they going.
Right.
We didn't want, and they have. They've picked their lane, and their lane is they're not good.
They're 8 points out of the wild card.
They're not a playoff. They smacked you in the face before the trade deadline and let you know we are not a playoff team.
Yeah.
So now what? Then, like I've told you, I trade both goalies. But in the bigger picture, I heard a lot of Hawks fans who are ready to move on. To move on. That they did the wrong thing with the coach. That they need a new decision maker in the general manager's chair. They need that guy to hire a new coach. Now, Bowman has had a lot of say in what they've done, both good and bad, over the last decade, ever since Dale left. Unlike some of the other guys, the story with the Bulls is you have a guy running basketball operations who has been to one conference final.
Right. There's
and
no
his job is
there.
Still safe.
Yeah.
So, I heard Cap say, yeah, you got to get rid of Bowman. But the other tenant in that town, you know, who don't have three championships over this span.
So how do you get this Blackhawks team better? Meller and I were talking about whether or not... Look, I can't see a scenario where you trade Patrick Kane.
He's a top 10 player in the league.
Yeah,
Who's not?
But Jonathan Toews, now again, you almost feel dirty for suggesting that he would be tradable. But Meller, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to fix the defense on this team?
Look, I'm a bit on the cap side of things. I think Stan Bowman, it's run its course. I know, look, the team won three cups, but at the same time... The spine of the team was in place. Dale Talon did a lot of the heavy lifting,
right,
and put the key players on the roster that are responsible, or to a large degree responsible for the cup runs. Now, you can't dismiss, especially for the second and third cups, Stan Bowman did some nice job massaging the roster to get them in a place where the complementary pieces would be there. But I know, in some ways, look at that and say, once Jerry Krause had Michael Jordan in place...
Right. He could identify Craig Hodges and
make
Steve
your job
Kerr
easier.
And Tony Kukoc and all those guys.
Yeah, and look, I feel like a lot of guys, if given the same opportunity, could have done similar things. Stan Bowman, now, all I've seen is in the way he manages the cap, the no-movement clauses that he seems to give out to any fan favorite, guys like Brent Seabrook, paying them... the reason they're at this spot... is they have very little flexibility because all the guys he's given too much money to players who he probably shouldn't have because they were past their prime, and then he gave them no movement clauses in addition to that, and those guys, you can't count on them, Seabrook, because he's just too old, he's injured, and then
every part of his body under surgery.
So what type of money do you have?
They'll have some money in this offseason. They'll have some.
They're going to have to sign a goalie.
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
Do you have to create even more space by trading one of your guys? Not only that could get you something in return, but also create some space with your salary.
Duncan Keith is probably, he's got a no-move clause, but he's talked a little bit about being open to the idea if the right opportunity came to him.
But, Jeff, that's why I'm saying it is now the time where it is truly a possibility that you move someone, as much as you may not want to move Jonathan Toews. But he's a guy that not only could bring you something in return, he could create some space.
He's got a no-move clause, too, though. He's going to have to okay that as well. I feel like Toews is still a productive player, and he's young enough where if you change over the roster, you can be successful with Toews and Kane still as the main pieces on your roster.
Don't you have to make a decision now in this offseason with Toews? Because if he does then dip further, then what are you really going to get back? You've got to trade him while you can still get something for him.
He had his best year of his career in terms of points
offensively,
last year,
didn't
he?
Yeah.
Offensively, yeah.
The question is, does he slip a little defensively when he adds more on the offensive side of the ice?
The thing is, Pat joined us last week or 2 weeks ago, and he said the Hawks know that the building would not be filled the way they're playing
right
now if they didn't have Kane and Toews. that this has been a team that missed a generation of fans because they angered the fan base from not putting the games on TV to trading away guys like Chelios and Roenick and on and on and on. And so now when you've got guys who have hoisted three cups, Chelios never hoisted a cup here. Right. He got to a Stanley Cup final. Roenick never hoisted a cup here. These are guys who hoisted cups. Do you just live with, like, we talk about this with the Bulls all the time. Like, did the Bulls err by not trying to squeeze every little last bit of juice out of Scotty and Michael? And do you just tweak the other stuff? Or do you say to yourself, Kane's still great. Taves isn't great, but he's still good. So maybe I need to get out from his salary and I need to trade him. And then sort of, you know, start building the second go around here. I mean, we're talking about Bryant being traded. We've talked about Michael playing for another team and Gretzky playing for many teams and Montana playing for the Chiefs. We've talked about a Brady possibly leaving.
Do you trust Bowman to be able to build around Kane and Taves? And you expect the Brinkett to be better next year, right? This is a dip. You know, isn't your expectation he's going to be better next year?
But to your point, Waddle, the question is, do you trust him to build around Kane and Taves? Well, if do you trust him then to be the guy to replace Taves?
Right. Do you want to? This ain't Jimmy Butler.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy Butler's good, very good. But this is one of the all-time great players in your franchise after you alienated a whole generation.
Right.
So it's not like simply like you've had all this greatness and you're the Patriots and years and years and years and you just let go of guys before they lose their thing. This is a franchise who has angered their fan base years before McDonough got here.
How would the fan base respond to a trade of Jonathan Taves?
I don't know.
I think a good majority would be very disappointed, and that would signal, like Sylvie said, a white flag. And you would see, I think, in the seats, the paid attendance would definitely slip if the Hawks trade Taves.
Victor in Park Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Victor.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
We're good.
Listen, I called in the Cap shows earlier. First of all, to get it out of the way, Stan Bowman needed to be gone yesterday. This guy has had not one, not two, but three of the great, and I'm talking about Taves, Kane, and Keith, three of the best players of our generation, and he has refused to build around them. You know, all these, if you look over the core players of the quote-unquote dynasty, they've been Dale Talon players. With the exception of Keith, I think he was drafted by, was it Mike Smith, whoever the GM was
before.
Anyways, so as far as trading Jonathan Taves, no. And I'll tell you why. Just to compare it to the other team on the other side of town with the Cubs, you know, they talk about having that presence in the locker room, not having David Ross around. Well, Jonathan Taves is that presence in the locker room, and he's not just a bench player who's there supporting the other young players. This is an all-time great player, an all-time great captain. You cannot trade him. I know he's not what he once was, but having Kane and Taves in that locker room, it's just essential for what the Hawks need to do. So
it's a good point, Victor. Yeah, I mean, look, he's your Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, like, was as big of a captain as he was a winner. And that's what Jonathan Taves has been to this Blackhawks team. He's been your captain, and you've won three championships under his leadership.
So do you need somebody else making the decisions to build around Kane and Taves?
Yes.
So that would be, if you could make a decision, what would it be? I mean, most people are going to say, hey, we need a new set of eyes and ears.
I think he's had his time to rebuild or to sort of tweak this team. And again, Q lost his job, okay? So if you're going to point the finger at Q two seasons ago, like in the beginning of last year, and now last year you didn't make the playoffs after that move, and now this year you're not going to make the playoffs. Okay. Now you go to the roster, because I would have identified the roster as the problem to begin with even before they fired Q.
Now, Ed, look, Jeremy Colleton, he might end up being a good coach down the line. The way the whole situation was set up, with guys who had the championship pedigree in the locker room and then removing their guy in Quenneville, it was Bowman and the Hawks organization who decided to go in that direction. They set Colleton up for failure, because it doesn't seem like while the roster lacks talent, there's not complete buy-in in the complete system switch that Colleton has done here. And if you're not going to get complete buy-in from the veterans, it's going to be hard to expect the younger players to follow his lead as well. It's a bad situation all around. And the other thing is, Colleton says night in and night out, whenever they seem to have a poor performance, they didn't bring it. They didn't bring the effort. Who's that on? What does Jeremy Colliton do?
It's players first.
Maybe, but how many times can the head coach tell you?
No, you're right. That's why Joe got fired.
Yeah. Makes you angry. Because it's a game that we, you know, we look before, like, we need this game. And we didn't do the things right from the start to put ourselves in the best position to win. We just didn't have enough guys ready to play.
Ooh, that's not good.
No, that's on you, coach.
By the way, what
isn't that on you, coach?
Well, it's on the players first,
right?
But then, you know, yes, that is reflective of the coach. What kind of voice does Scotty Bowman have in this organization at this point?
He's a quiet guy. No, he's the guy in charge.
Okay, so
I mean, he's the clear general manager, and his dad probably still helps out.
No, that's what I said. It's Scotty.
Stan. No,
no. No, so that's what I said. What kind of voice does he have?
He's been their advisor for years.
What is the likelihood that a team with Scotty Bowman with a voice is going to fire his son?
Eventually, I've said this with Pax. They're not close to where the Bulls are. Not close.
Right.
But sometimes comes time for a fresh set of eyes. I've always said that.
Yes, but it's also very difficult to get those fresh set of eyes at the expense of your kid.
No, but I mean, you would have to be willing to get rid of to know that Scotty's going to walk out the door. He's 86, though. I mean, are you really not going to make that move because you're worried about losing an 86-year-old
guy? That's why I asked, how valuable is the voice of Scotty Bowman in the building?
I don't know. I think they love him. I mean, Scotty Bowman.
Right.
He's the winningest coach ever.
Boy,
But again, Phil Jackson was the winningest coach ever. How'd he do in the front office?
Well, I know, but his son wasn't coaching the team. My point is how likely is it that they would even consider making that change?
I think they got to consider it if you care about winning championships. That's what Rocky and that's what John have said, that they care not about making playoffs, but winning championships and making the best move to win championships. What should they do? 332-3776. And also your chance to win a $50 gift card to Great Clips. I'll tell you who's number 9 on the all-time Bulls top 20 list. It's next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura RDX with available super handling all-wheel drive today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
For the Waddle and Sylvie Countdown of the 20 Greatest Bulls of All Time!
Shot blocked by Butler!
A shot on Elo! Good! The Bulls win it!
Derrick Rose!
Oh, a spectacular by Michael Jordan!
Bam!
Hello!
Yes! Big time on you!
Oh, good!
The Bulls do what no team has done before. History here in Milwaukee.
Presented by Great Clips. The countdown continues. Number 9.
Van Leer tries. Bulls heading against Clifford Ray.
I don't know what else you can say about Norm Van Leer.
They go outside of Van Leer. He takes it inside, lays it up and good. Van Leer has scored 34 points for Chicago. Counting it down, Van Leer dribbling and puts it up. That's liable to go in. It almost did. That would be the fitting climax for a great show by Norm Van Leer as Dick Motta leaves the court.
Yeah, before there were the championship Bulls of the 90s, there were the Dick Motta Bulls of the mid-70s, and Norm Van Leer, the heart and soul of that team. Jerry Sloan, of course, was basically like the Ernie Banks of the Bulls. He was Mr. Bull. But Norm Van Leer provided, that backcourt was outstanding to begin with. You talk about a guy who just played all the time with maximum effort. He dished, he would lead the league in assists one of the years. He was a guy who was always high up in the league as far as steals is concerned. And again, you weren't going to screw around with those Bulls because they had Norm Van Leer.
I never knew Norm Van Leer as a Bull. I knew Norm Van Leer very well as kind of a Chicago icon, and he's just a guy that was you know, front and center with regard to covering the team and doing different things in the community. Loved my interaction with Norm for years.
Yeah, it didn't start with the Bulls. It started with Cincinnati. And then when came to the Bulls then in the early 70s, in the 71-72 season, and then he played several years after that. Good old number two. His number, a lot of people believe, should be retired. Here into Spot Waddle in my top 10. Coming in at number nine is the great Norm Van Leer. And it's all brought to you by Great Clips Salon Quality Hair Care at down-to-earth prices. Go to greatclips.com to find one of their over 150 Chicagoland locations. Download the online check-in app to avoid the wait. Great Clips, it's going to be great. We've got a $50 gift card right now to Great Clips. And if you're caller 20, you win. 312-332-3776. Just be caller 20. And we'll continue to do this every Tuesday and Thursday as we count down to the big dramatic number one. A lot of people are very nervous and they're not sure who I'm going to have at number one for the Bulls all time. Well, greatest players.
Based on your conversations this week, I mean.
Yeah, it's going to be Dominique.
It might be Wilkins, Dominique. Right?
And he never even played for the Bulls. Yeah, right. Well. Cliff Levingston. But, yeah, it's fun. And thanks to Great Clips for sponsoring this.
It's going to be great.
And you know what Great Clips has forced us to do? Is remember the good times.
That's right.
You know, instead of always talking about what's going on now, we've reflected
a bit.
We're
in a bit of a valley.
Yeah. Ryan's in Naperville. Hi, Ryan.
How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Good, good. Hey, I had a little thought about this. It seems that the hockey players are more homers and willing to give discounts to hometowns than anywhere else. I bet you Taves would give up his no-trade clause to finish his career in his hometown of Ottawa. We'd get a truckload for him, and we can build around Kane and DeBrincat. What are your thoughts? Tommy, also, stop apologizing for everything. We want to hear your opinion. We love you, buddy.
Thanks, Ryan.
Sorry for that, Ryan.
Yeah, I assume, he means Winnipeg. He said Ottawa. I believe he means Winnipeg.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where Jonathan's from.
No, he is from Winnipeg, but I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm open to it. I'm not pounding my fist on the table and saying, in order to get this right, you have to trade Jonathan Taves. I don't know what they could get from him. I don't know how much faith I have in whoever is running the team, especially if it's Stan Bowman, to make a move like that.
How can you have any untrade? I mean, a Kane is as close to an untradeable as there is. How can you really, truly, though, have any untradeables when you have had the drought that they've had? I mean, like you said, Chris Bryant, you're only, what, you're 3-4 years removed from a
World Series.
World Series title on the north side.
And
Chris Bryant's, the MVP of the league, and he's not an untouchable or an untradeable.
He's right, though. Winnipeg is the match because they have a need for Taves, and it would be a place where you would think he would be open to waiving his no-movement clause. And because he would be a fan favorite there, you might get the most from Winnipeg. And they've got some interesting young players on their roster. So
make a call.
Ryan's in Downers Grove. Another Ryan. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ry?
Hey, guys. Great show. Happy birthday, Waddle.
Thank you, Ryan.
I mean, I think, Waddle, you kind of hit it on the head right there. I've seen enough of this, group of Hawks. I'm ready to trade them all. Kane, Taves, Crawford, trade all of them. If there's a team out there willing to give you two first-round picks for Patrick Kane, both him and Taves are going to be 32 at the start of the season next year. If you're telling me, hey, we're rebuilding, you can't rebuild while both those guys are on the roster. They've tried reloading with those guys on the roster. It's just not working. I understand you want Patrick Kane to be a Hawk for life. Stan Mikita was, but Bobby Hall wasn't. I mean, it's one of those things. They don't always have to go hand-in-hand, but at the same time, if you can get a boatload for him, I mean, you look at some of the guys, those one-sided trades, they work out pretty well for the teams that get the draft picks back. If you want to look at Herschel Walker at the Cowboys, or look at the Celtics a couple years ago. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce were not what they were, but they traded into the Nets, and they got, what, 3 or 4 first-round picks, and Jason Tatum was one of those guys, and that's worked out pretty well for them. I'm not saying you have to trade them no matter what, but it has to be on the table, and you have to tell teams, we're willing to do this, but you have to, you know, hit X, Y, or Z. I think anybody that says they're untradeable, it's just, it's not fair. It's not a rebuild then.
Ryan, hold on one sec. It's a great call, and you make a lot of sense. What would you say if you were sitting across the table from John McDonough and saying, you don't understand, though, we still got to be PR conscious because we're not the Bulls. We're this is different. Hockey in Chicago is different. We have a very high-priced ticket, and if we're rebuilding, that building could be very empty.
You know what? And that's a great point. But at the same time, do you think your fan base is going to be more mad if they keep Patrick Kane for the rest of his career and they go into the dark ages because they got nothing for any of their really good players when they had a chance to, and now nobody wants to follow them again like in the 90s, except now they're on TV and now nobody wants to follow them on TV either? It's a good point, and I get it, but at the same time, I'd rather take my chance, rebuild, and you just you see this kind of thing happen. Look at the Kings. They have Jeff Carter on a huge deal. They're probably going through the same thing the Hawks are going sure. through. They'd love to unload some of their players if they could. They're just not good enough anymore. The Hawks are in a great position to say, you know what? We've got players that teams want. Why are we not going to capitalize on that? Or are we just going to be okay enough throughout the season? I mean, look at right now, yeah, teams are interested, players are, or people are interested in watching the Hawks. Do you really think people are going to feel the same way in 2 or 3 years if they keep not
Look,
making
do you know
playoffs
what,
and Kane's there?
You know what Ryan, ultimately hits your bottom line most is losing, consistent losing.
Yeah.
That's what's the biggest deterrent to your bottom line.
And being in the middle. Jim Harbaugh, Waddle's former quarterback, joins us in 2 minutes.